All right, listen, you can check out our new friend Mike Florio, Pro Football Live, from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern. That's 3 to 6. I did the math in my head there. Pacific, NBC Sports Radio. Also, Football Night in America and Sunday Night Football on NBC. He is everywhere, and we're very happy to have him on with us. It's Mike Florio. Mike, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Thanks for joining us this morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great. How are you guys?
Hello. Oh, we're looking for Mike Florio.
Ah.
I'm here.
Mike Florio may not be joining
like
us this morning.
I'm here.
Oh, there you go. Hey, Mike. Awesome. The button thing, and we had to push it and pull that
it's
up.
It's difficult.
Thank you, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I just want to ask you, well, it's kind of a football but a non-football question. We've all followed you for a long, long time and read your site religiously, watch you on Sunday Night Football. When training camp opens, where would you rank this time period right now as far as busy times of the year for Mike Florio?
Oh, it's definitely busy because it's the first busy time of the year after two or three months where things kind of slowed down.
Yeah, it's been about a long time.
So it really exploded over the weekend. Hello.
There you go, Mike. Now we got you. Go ahead. Busy time of year for you.
Busy time of year, but the first busy time on the NFL calendar because things slow down after the draft. So it is hard to come up with stories for a while, and then all of a sudden everything explodes and there's plenty of stuff, and we worked hard this weekend just to keep up with everything, and it's going to be that way, nonstop action, nonstop news, really until the next draft.
Mike Florio joining us. We talked earlier when you were coming on about the matchup, if you will. There's not a lot expected out of the Niners this year, Mike. But really, the thing everyone's following, obviously, Kaepernick, who is now quote-unquote healthy, versus Blaine Gabbert. Is this a true open quarterback competition, in your opinion?
Well, look, first of all, it's not necessarily bad to have low expectations. Back in 2011, when the 49ers came within a whisker of the Super Bowl, nobody expected anything out of that team going into the season. Now, big difference between Jim Harbaugh year one and Chip Kelly, potentially, but still, being off the radar screen, having a low bar, not a bad thing. And I think this is a real competition because otherwise you want to get Blaine Gabbert ready if he's the guy. You don't split the reps and dilute the ability of the guy who's going to win the job to be ready. And think of Chip Kelly's first year with the Eagles 3 years ago. Nick Foles and Mike Vick split reps up until really the third preseason game and even beyond. I think Kelly waited as long as possible to name a starter. And we thought it was going to be Gabbert because Kaepernick wasn't involved in the offseason program, but it looks like Kaepernick's going to have a fair shot to catch up, learn the offense, and prove that he can run it better than Blaine Gabbert.
Mike, what do you think, though, with all that said, is a reasonable expectation, I guess, of this 49ers team? It's doom and gloom a lot for the fans, and most of them feel like they don't care if the team's miserable now that they've gotten rid of Jim Harbaugh still 2 years after that. But are they going to be as bad as a lot of fans think they will be?
I think they'll be better, but they're not going to be a playoff contender when you consider the division they're in. The Cardinals are still very good. The Seahawks still have a great young nucleus of elite talent. And the Rams, now look, they're going to have a few strange transition years where they're spread all over Southern California from their practice facility to their stadium, and guys are going to be spending a lot of time on the freeway trying to get from point A to point B, but they have a very good defense, and they have a great young running back in Todd Gurley, and if Jared Goff works out, they could be good. So yeah, they're almost like, and I don't want to say the 49ers are going to be as bad as the Browns, although I think the Browns could be better than we expect, but the 49ers are caught in a very good division, and it's hard to contend when you're assigned two games a year against three very good teams.
Now, Mike, I know that, you know, like Nate just said, and Dave, there's not a whole lot of expectations for the 49ers this year, but there are a lot of expectations when you are a Raiders fan. When you look at the group of guys that they have in there, Derek Carr is proven to be a great quarterback. He's going into just his third season. You've got Khalil Mack. You've got Amari Cooper. When you look at this team and the additions that they have and the progress that they've made, what are you seeing at the beginning of training camp for them and the hopes for their season?
Well, one thing that gets lost in the talk about the great players like Khalil Mack, and a lot of people think he's the best defensive player in the NFL right now, and the development of Derek Carr and Amari Cooper, the depth this team has, that's an area where I've heard the team is very happy, and it's going to manifest itself in the final cuts. When every team has to get down to 53 players, the quality of the players that the Raiders have to let go, and those players being signed and claimed on waivers by other teams. That's going to be proof that the Raiders, top to bottom, not just the stars and the young guys who are moving in the right direction, but everybody, better depth than they've had, and that's going to be the key because injuries are inevitable. You need everybody on the roster to step up, and the thinking is this year they have the depth they need to really contend.
Mike Florio joining us, Pro Football Talk, live on NBC Sports Radio, also a Football Night in America, Sunday Night Football on NBC. One of the lead stories you have on Pro Football Talk right now, Mike, is Michael Bennett. He made a call to action a while back, called out a few players, including Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers, but sounds like he's walking it back a little bit with Cam Newton.
Yeah, they're trying to clean up this mess, and actually the Seahawks saw the mess coming. They scrubbed from the transcript they sent out the reference to Cam Newton, that Cam Newton needs to do something more than just sit back and collect dollars. And the video of the press conference where Bennett said those things, it actually jumps and skips like 20 seconds of that inflammatory stuff. And I think it's a combination of not wanting to have any gratuitous shots taken at Cam Newton, but also when you say that great players are sitting back taking the dollars like Cam Newton, well, there's a guy in the locker room in Seattle that is taking even more dollars than Cam Newton and is saying nothing. Because Russell Wilson was asked about some of these societal issues on Saturday, and he walked that line as best he possibly could. And I think the Seahawks are trying to take some of the sting out of this as it relates to Newton, because it's not a very long walk to realize Bennett's message at a deeper level was intended for his own quarterback.
Interesting. Mike Florio with us on KHTK. When we first heard the story, Mike, Le'Veon Bell missing a drug test, we have obvious jokes made, whatever, but it sounds like there's a little bit more to that. Do we know why he missed the test? What's the story there that you're hearing?
There hasn't been anything definitive, and look, we shouldn't know any of this. The way it works is a confidentiality provision in the substance abuse policy. No one is supposed to say anything about where a guy stands as it relates to a suspension until the appeal process ends. And what we've heard about Bell is, number one, he's facing a 4-game suspension for missing a drug test. And NFL media, owned and operated by the league, has said it was several drug tests that he missed. Again, we shouldn't know any of this. Now, with that said, I made some calls last week just to, if nothing else, express my displeasure with the fact that this stuff continues to get out and these guys get stigmatized unfairly. And it became clear to me that there's not a whole lot of optimism that he's going to win this. And the best argument I've seen is he got a new phone and they called his old phone. Well, there's got to be a clear obligation on the player to make sure that the NFL has the right number. And unless he can prove he provided the right number and they called the old one accidentally, he's going to have a hard time making that fly.
Mike, Trey Mason has not reported to Rams training camp, and the team is saying they haven't talked to him in months. And, of course, there was the incident where he was pulled over by the cops and a bunch of things transpired from there. Are you hearing anything in terms of what's going on there? I know that the team itself is saying that they're actually very concerned for him on a personal level in terms of some things that have transpired.
Well, he had the issue when he was pulled over, and then he didn't show up for court, and they had to issue an arrest warrant for him, and they eventually tracked him down. But there was an item, I think it was on TMZ last week, that police had been to his house 5 times because family members were concerned about him. There was one time where he was leaving, and they were concerned he was going to get hurt if he left because of his state of mind. So it sounds like there are other issues going on here for which he needs some kind of help. And football, probably a minimal concern right now for Trey Mason. And, you know, there's not much the Rams can do if he's not going to be in touch with them. But hopefully some way, somehow, they'll get this kid the help he needs. And you know, the football career becomes secondary, but hopefully he can get everything in order and continue to pursue football if that's what he wants to do.
They put him on the PUP list as of now because they really don't have an option. But moving forward, I mean, is there, because this is unfortunate for him on a personal level, obviously, but it also puts franchises in a difficult position when you don't really know what's going on. Is there some kind of thing in terms of the communication breakdown and that a player being held responsible for that in any way?
Well, I mean, there's channels that the team can try to work through. They can get the NFLPA to help them out. They can send somebody to try to track Trey Mason down if they choose to. The bottom line is, if you don't report and you're under contract, you're subject to $40,000 per day in fines, and you just sit on that list until you actually show up. And consider this. He plays a position where the supply of competent running backs far outweighs the demand. And at a certain point, the Rams may just say, we just, based upon what we've learned through our security department, we're just going to move on.
Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio on with us right now, talking obviously the NFL, bouncing back to the Oakland Raiders Friday in front of a lot of Raider friends and alumni. Mark Davis gave Reggie McKenzie a 4-year extension. I won't ask you whether or not it's deserved, Mike, but you look at all the teams, all the camps. You talk to a ton of players. Talk a little bit about the change in perception of the Oakland Raiders from 2-3 years ago till now.
Well, I think that there is a change, and Reggie McKenzie has a lot to do with it. Now, Dennis Allen didn't work out as the head coach, and you could argue maybe they were a little hasty with Hugh Jackson, and maybe there would have been a way for Jackson and McKenzie to work together. But with Hugh Jackson paired up with Jack Del Rio, and Del Rio, somebody who really wanted that job, a lifelong Raiders fan, it just feels like a good fit. And it's all about the quality of the players and how you take advantage of the avenues available to improve your team, free agency and the draft, and developing the players that you have. And we see that blend because the Raiders had a lot of money to spend, a lot of money they had to spend this year because they hadn't been spending much in past years, and the CBA requires them and the Jaguars to really overspend this year. They're putting themselves in a position where we look at the Raiders now and we don't say last place. We look at the Raiders and we say maybe first place in the AFC West this year.
Now, Mike, when it comes to Derek Carr, for example, I think this is the year where we find out if he's like a Matt Stafford guy or an Aaron Rodgers guy. And I realize we're talking about two fantastic quarterbacks there, but of those two, only one has the wins to back it up. And I think we're all taking Aaron Rodgers. So I guess my question is, the difference between those two guys, a Matt Stafford and an Aaron Rodgers, is that simply about the personnel they play with, or is there just something about an Aaron Rodgers that takes them to the next level?
Well, wouldn't it be great to swap the two some alternate universe and see what the Lions would have done with Aaron Rodgers and what the Packers would have done with Matthew Stafford? The reality is we focus on the quarterbacks excessively when a team does well, when a team does poorly. And it's so much about what is around him, the quality of the offensive line. And I think Aaron Rodgers much better suited than most quarterbacks to overcome a bad offensive line. And the Packers have had a bad offensive line for more often than not during his career. I don't think Rodgers has gotten the quality of help that he needs, and Stafford hasn't either. And it'll be interesting to see apples to apples, same division. Lions seem to be moving in the right direction. Packers have a greater sense of urgency. And I've said this before, if the Packers had a traditional owner, I don't think that Mike McCarthy would still be the head coach. I just don't, you know, they don't have that one person who can roll out of bed one day and say, I got to get a better coach. It's a board of directors, it's a president, and I think it takes more. And they've done enough to keep McCarthy there. I just think at a certain point, McCarthy's going to take the blame for the failure to get back to the Super Bowl.
Mike, the Vikings are dealing with something that could potentially be very worrisome for them. Adrian Peterson has a slight hamstring pull from workouts a week before camp started. With his age and kind of where he's at, should this be a concern for the Vikings right now?
Well, anytime a guy has a pulled hamstring, it's a concern because you have to be willing to shut him down long enough so it heals. And there's a certain amount of exercise you can do, but there's a threshold. And if you cross it, it tightens up, and then you set back the recovery process. And I think the Vikings will go easy with him. And this is a good opportunity for the rest of the offense to get used to life without Adrian Peterson. And the key is for Teddy Bridgewater to take advantage of those opportunities and step up. So they could find a way to spin this into a positive. Rest Adrian, let Teddy take control of the offense, because at some point, Teddy Bridgewater is going to be there and Adrian Peterson isn't.
Mike Florio, always full of information. And Mike, everyone knows they can get you at profootballtalk.com. What are some other places where people can catch some of your work?
Well, we got the PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. That's actually on not just 3 to 6 Pacific time, but they replay the whole thing 6 to 9 Pacific time, and the podcast is available, the entire show, every day, all 3 hours. And we're actually, after the Olympics, the final 2 hours of the live show, which will be 4 to 6 a.m. Pacific time, will be on NBCSN leading into Dan Patrick's show. So we're looking forward to that after the Olympics, and off we go.
Man misses nothing when it comes to the NFL. Mike, busy season for you. We appreciate you joining us, and we look forward to talking to you throughout the year.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. That is Mike Florio. No one better. No one better.